Welcome to the Voice of Triumph, the audio ministry of Life of Faith Bible Church and Stephen Frazier Ministries, an outreach that is dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Frazier with today's message.
Isn't it amazing that the King of Kings started out in the lowliest of places? I mean, we're talking about the king. I mean, we've heard the story, but you know, you stop, you think about it. I mean, we're talking about God here. We understand that Jesus didn't just start 2,000 years ago, but he came to this earth about 2,000 years ago. He has existed from eternity past. And of course, you see that over in John's Gospel, chapter 1. The Bible refers to him as the Word of God. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And it says, all things were created by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And then you go a little bit further on down in the verse there, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word that was from eternity past became flesh about 2,000 years ago. So he didn't just come into existence 2,000 years ago. He just came into this physical, natural world in the form of a human being about 2,000 years ago. Jesus is God who has always been and always will be. And you think about that. I mean God, who when he spoke, planets were created. The universe was created. And you think about how big he is, how awesome he is. People know God doesn't have to answer or submit to anyone, does he? He doesn't have to answer or submit himself to anyone. I mean, it would be kind of strange, you know, if you got to heaven and, you know, you went into where the throne was and God wasn't there. And you look around and you think, well, where's God? And he's out here just serving people. He's out here getting people water to drink. He's out here cooking some food. He's in the kitchen. Where's God? He's in the kitchen. What's he doing in the kitchen? He's cooking. He's getting dinner ready. There's a big banquet that we're about to have. There's a big feast we're about to have. God's in the kitchen. You know, he's cooking. You know? Another time you walk around, where's God now? He's sweeping up the place. He's cleaning things up, getting things ready. I don't know how dirty things can really get in heaven. But I'm sure there's things to move around, you know. And so, you know, he's cleaning things up. He's moving things around. He's out there moving furniture around. You know, he's getting those mansions ready. He's preparing. He said he's going to prepare a place for us. Does that mean he's out there, you know, with a hand truck? And he's just loading boxes, you know. And just carrying stuff into people's homes, loading things up, and the angels are standing there giving orders, telling God, move it a little bit more to the left, God. Move that piece of furniture over a little bit, just a little bit more. That picture's a little crooked. And God's saying, is this okay? You wouldn't really picture that, would you? I mean, you picture God. I mean, he's the Almighty God. He doesn't have to submit to nobody. And yet, when he became a man in the person of Jesus, that's exactly what he came to do. He came to submit himself to God the Father and to the plan of God for his life. And he came and he lived a subservient life. He took on the form of a servant. Notice this over in Philippians, the second chapter, Philippians chapter 2. in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we are to think like he thought while he was here on the earth. He came really to give us his way of thinking. He came to give us his way of believing. He came to give us his way of living. That's what he came to give us. Your living is based on what you believe and how you think. So he came to show us how to think. So his whole life is a demonstration of how you and I are to live our lives. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. You need to have that mind in you. Hold your place here and go with me to Psalm 82. This isn't my focus, but we need to hit it. Psalm 82. Jesus didn't think being equal with God was wrong. He didn't think it was wrong to be equal with God. Notice this here in Psalm 82, in verse 1, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Now, what kind of congregation is this? Well, this is just a congregation of a bunch of worms. We're just old sinners, just a bunch of worms. No, God doesn't stand in the congregation of the worms. Does he? No, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. Hallelujah. He judges among the gods. That's little g. Who are these gods? Who are these gods? Well, let's go down to verse 6. "I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes." Notice that. You shall die like men. You know, you go over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul the Apostle said, "When I was with you, I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal people, as babes in Christ." He said, "Where there's selfishness, envy, and strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving or acting like mere men?" That leaves the impression on my heart that we're not to act like mere men. Here, look, he says, "But you shall die like men." Makes it sound like whoever these folks are, they shouldn't just die like men. Right? Who are these folks? He says, "You are gods." Who are they? All of you are children of the Most High. How many children of the Most High do we have in here this morning? Yeah, glory to God. We are his children. We are his offspring. And through Jesus Christ, we've been made the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean? That means we've been made to be in right standing with God. What does that mean? That means God has given us an equality with himself. I mean, we can get into this, and this isn't the emphasis of what's on my heart today. But even in the book of Hebrews, Jesus, the Bible says, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. I mean, here, God, who became flesh and blood, became a man, actually refers to you and I as brethren. I mean, he puts us on the same level as himself. That's equality with God. Right? And he says, "You are gods," little g. Now, folks, a lot of folks can cringe at that. Ooh. No, I'm okay with saying I'm a child of God, but to say I'm a God? Who? Well, it's both in the same verse. I said they're both in the same verse, aren't they? Come on, is it in the same verse? You are God's, all of you are children of the Most High. Same verse. See, we're used to hearing the one, we're not so used to hearing the other, so the other we pull back from. And we're afraid to say it because equality with God, whoo, that's like robbing God of something and making ourselves out to be something. That's stealing the glory from God. No, friend, you ain't nothing in yourself. We're talking about in Christ. We're talking about what God has done for you and I, what he has accomplished in Christ Jesus for you and I. He made you children of his. I said he made you children of his. He made you gods. I didn't say he made you God. The Bible didn't say he made you God, but he made you. Let this mind be in you. Equality with God is not robbing God. Some of you are having a tough time with that. I mean, folks, ooh, this is squirmy stuff. I don't feel right about it. Something just doesn't seem right about it. Is it the Bible? It doesn't matter. It still doesn't seem right. Listen, you got to take your religious traditions and you got to baptize them. You got to submerge them, friend. And you got to say, is it in the Bible? We got to study the Bible and not just disagree with things because it goes against our tradition. If it goes against Scripture, then you have a right to disagree. But if it doesn't go against Scripture, relax. Relax. Open your heart and receive what the Bible is saying. I have said nothing but what the Bible says. All right? And I plan to keep it that way for the rest of the service. So just take your notepad out and get ready. So verse 5, Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider. How many of you know that's something you do with your mind? You consider things with your mind. He says, let this mind be in you. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now again, this is still something that you and I need to have in our minds. He made himself of no reputation. How many people know God's got a pretty heavy-duty reputation? Among the angels, among whatever kind of creatures are out there, whatever kind of aliens there are out there. You believe in aliens? Revelations chapter 4. There's all kinds of winged creatures, and there's creatures that have eyes all around their head. I mean, there's stuff that makes Star Trek look like. I mean, there's some wild stuff around the throne. I mean, there's all kinds of creatures out there. And he made himself of no reputation. We're talking about God. I mean, he had a reputation. But yet he made himself of no reputation. Actually, my margin says this. He emptied himself of his privileges. He emptied himself of his privileges. That's another way of saying he made himself of no reputation. When God became a man in the person of Jesus, he emptied himself of all his privileges as God. And he became a man. He became a son of God. He became a child of God. Verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, that last part is more like it. You know, when you think about Jesus and how he should be being treated, I mean, every knee should be bowing, every tongue confessing, Jesus, he is Lord. He is Lord of all. Everybody should just want to worship him. Well, that's the state that he's in now. He's been restored to the right hand of the Father, and he's been given a name above every name. But while he lived here on the earth, he was despised. He was rejected. And you know what he did? He humbled himself, and he accepted that. In fact, he put himself in a position to not just be a man, but to be a slave, a servant of mankind. He came and put himself down lower than everybody else. He didn't look at himself as, I'm the Christ, I'm God, I'm Emmanuel, God is with you, here I am. He didn't walk around like that, did he? He could have. I mean, he could have freaked a lot of folks out if he wanted to, right? I mean, at one time when he was going to the cross, he said, I can call for a legion of angels right now to deliver me. I can call on my Father and he'd give me a legion of angels right now and they'd deliver me. He didn't do it. The Bible says, he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Didn't say anything. People cursing him. People reviling him. People tempting him. He never opened his mouth. He submitted himself to man's ridicule and man's spitting and man's obnoxious pride and behavior. And it all started back here in the very beginning when he came into this world. I mean, here he is, and they place the body that he is inhabiting, they place it in an animal's food trough. I mean, it's unsanitary, it's dirty, it smells, and this is where he is. Jesus, King of Kings, came and was laid in a manger. Wow. And how many of you know that was all part of God's plan? It didn't just happen. It wasn't an accident. That was all part of God's plan, that Jesus would come into this world and teach you and I about meekness, teach us about humility. Now, meekness is not being sick, being poor, or being weak. A lot of folks think being meek is being weak and you're broken down and your house leaks. You got a lot of leaks. You got a real humble house and it leaks. And there's no money. You never have any money. You never have enough to do anything. And you really are living in real humble, you know, humble means. You got nothing. You're poor. I got news for you. Jesus was not poor. I don't believe he was poor a day in his life. You got folks that talk about, how about that song, The Drummer Boy? The drummer boy's playing. You know that song, The Drummer Boy? Ba-rum-pa-pum-pum. I am a poor boy too, ha-rum-pa-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. I bring my gift to you, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. I can sing, I'm not going to try to sing the whole thing. I just wanted to get that point. I am a poor boy too. I remember hearing one of our presidents years back get up and talk about the poor boy Jesus. Friends, I got news for you. He wasn't in the manger because he was poor. He was in the manger. He was in the stable because there was no room for them in the inn. He didn't say they didn't have any money for the inn. In fact, they probably paid for the stable.
I don't know. But he wasn't in the stable because he had no money. A lot of folks have this idea. He was in the stable because he had no money. No. I mean, Bethlehem was packed at that time with people because for tax reasons, people had to gather there and there was a census and people had to, you know, get, you know, log in and so forth. And so there was no room. The hotels were all taken. Motel 6, the lights were out. So, you know, he had nowhere else to go. And then it wasn't long after that next thing you know, you got these magi coming, these guys coming with camel loads of all kinds of wealth and gifts to present to him. I mean, he never lacked anything. Jesus was not a poor boy. So being meek isn't being poor. Being meek isn't being weak and broken down and sickly. Jesus wasn't sick a day in his life. He healed the sick. He delivered people from those things. He wasn't oppressed. To be meek, one of the definitions of meekness is to be submissive, to serve or act in a subordinate capacity. This is what Jesus did. This is God. Never in submission to anyone or anything. Now all of a sudden, he has submitted himself to the human race by submitting himself to God the Father. To come and be a sacrifice for you and I. He came to deliver us from the very pride that has entangled us and has caused us to fall into sin. Pride is at the root of every sin, of every vile an evil thing. Pride is at the root of all of man's failures in life. Pride is at the root of it. Bible says pride goes before a fall. How many people know? Adam and Eve fell. They fell from God. Why? Because of pride. Let's go back a little bit further. There was an angel by the name of Lucifer. How many people know Lucifer has fallen? Bible says, Isaiah 14, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. How you have fallen. What goes before a fall? Pride. So we know that pride is the root for Lucifer's fall. And now he has become Satan. He has become the devil. And all the angels that fell with him are demons. And their whole fall was the result of pride. They became creatures of pride. Lucifer began to look upon himself. He began to think about how beautiful he was. He began to think about how wise he was. And he failed to realize that his beauty and his wisdom was the result of the power that he was plugged into, which is God. He was plugged into God. He was connected to God, God's presence, God's spirit, God's kingdom. And that's why there was this flow of wisdom. There was this flow of power. There was all this beauty that was coming forth from his life. But he began to think that he was something in himself. He began to think he was something apart from God. He began to look upon himself and begin to think about his own reputation among the other angels and how great he was and how special he was and how honored he was by everybody. And he began to think on these things and he fell. Before he fell from heaven, he fell inwardly. He collapsed in on himself. He became introverted, all into himself. And when he became introverted, he became a creature of darkness. This is actually how darkness, spiritual darkness, was created. You know, the Bible tells us that
the creation itself will teach us spiritual things. And the Bible likens angels to stars. And one time I was looking at how a black hole is created. And I found out that it was the result of a big star that can't hold up its own weight anymore. It collapses. It sinks. It falls inwardly. It collapses. And when it does, because the force of it is so great, it just begins to suck everything into it that is anywhere near it, even other planets. It'll eventually pull other planets into it. It'll pull light into it. And when everything goes into this black hole, it goes in there and it becomes twisted and distorted. So that even when light goes in, light can bend and things. And when it goes in, it is bent and distorted so that it doesn't even look like light anymore. And it just becomes a part of the circumference of this black hole. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger as things are sucked into it. That black hole just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Friend, that is a picture of Satan. That's exactly what happened. He got too big for his britches. God put all this power and glory on him, and the only way he could walk in this was to stay connected to the God that gave it to him. God was his strength. But when he began to think he was his own strength, and he was the source of these things alone, he collapsed, and he became a black hole. He became a creature of darkness, and he is still trying to suck everything into that black hole, even the children of light. And children of light get a little bit too close to that black hole. They get sucked in there. Next thing you know, they're twisted, they're perverted, and they don't look like children of light anymore. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. They were creatures of light, sons of the Most High God, the rulers and gods of this world. They had dominion over the earth. God had said he had given them dominion. That means absolute rule and authority over the works of his hands. The psalmist said, what is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visit him? You've made him a little lower than Elohim, a little lower than God. And you've crowned him with glory and honor, and you've given him dominion over the works of your hands. Man, absolute rule and authority over the works of your hands. That's what Adam and Eve had in the beginning. But the pride that makes Satan, Satan. The pride that makes the demons, demons. It makes them so evil. Remember, pride is at the root of every evil thing. All the evil that is in Satan, all the evil that are in these demons, the root of it is pride. It's pride that caused them to fall. And so they begin to breathe that pride into Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve received it. They partook of it. And when they did, they also fell and actually came under the authority of Satan. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that now Satan is the god of this world. He's not God, but he is considered the god of this world, which is what Adam was supposed to be, but Adam turned it all over to Satan. And so now, Jesus, God, he sees the problem. He sees mankind's problem. It's a pride problem. And he recognizes the thing that mankind needs to be delivered of the most is this evil disease called pride. And so God devises a plan by which he would bring the humility of heaven to the earth. Because humility is at the root of every good and virtuous thing. Everything good, everything honorable, everything virtuous, everything clean and upright and magnificent and wonderful has humility at its root. If you want to be honored, if you want to be exalted, if you want to be lifted up in life and have a successful life, a prosperous life, a good life, be a godly person, a good person, what do you need? You need humility. You need humility. We need humility more than anything else. It's humility that came and saved you and I. Jesus is humility in bodily form. His birth, the incarnation, was humility. Notice it says, he emptied himself and became a man. Man, that's humility. His incarnation is humility. His birth is humility. And then it says, he took on the form of a servant. That means talking about his life. His life on earth was humility. His birth was humility. His life on earth was humility. And then it says, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Talking about the death of the cross. His atonement was humility. His atonement for our sins was humility. His humility gave his death its value. And so became our redemption. Humility became our redemption. His humility is our salvation. His salvation is our humility. And then it says, God highly exalted him because he humbled himself. God highly exalted him. Talking about his ascension. His ascension was humility. Wasn't it? So his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. It's all summed up right here in these verses of scripture in Philippians. And it's all humility. Christ is the humility of God embodied in human nature. Jesus said in Luke 22:27, he said, I am in the midst of you as he that serves. He's in our midst. He's not walking around with a scepter in his hand. He's walking around meek and lowly as one who serves. Jesus came to destroy the pride that divides and separates from God and one another. It's humility that brings unity. If we want to walk in unity, we got to get humility. It's humility that joins us back to God. It was pride that separated us from him. It's the pride that separates us from one another. And it's humility that brings us back to him. We need to humble ourselves and not walk around and say, I'm just a little worm. I'm just a this, I'm just a that. Well, in yourself you are. And there is a time to say that. That you're a big nothing. In yourself, you're a big zero. Would to God that Lucifer knew that. But he didn't. He began to think he was God. He was as big and as strong and as powerful and as mighty as God. Apart from God. You know everything he is in you. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life. When God fills you with his Holy Spirit, he fills you with his heart, with his life, with his power, with his nature, with his goodness. Everything he is in the born-again child of God. Everything he is. That's why Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, we know all things are possible with God. Right? But Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. To the one that believes in God, trusts in God, leans on God, looks to God for everything. When you're connected to him, he says, you're a part of the body of Christ. You're a part of his very own body. Everything he is in his body. And he wants to flow through you. Glory to his wisdom wants to flow through you. Knowledge wants to flow through you. We don't have to be in the dark and in confusion.
and in fear and in worry, man, we could be in the light. We could be in the light because now we know we're right in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You and I are one with God. We're in right relationship with Him. And now we have access to all that He is and all that He has, so that now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now we know God can do all things. Yeah, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, that wasn't Lucifer. Lucifer was, I am great, period. It should have been, I am great in God who is great in me. And it's His glory that's flowing forth from my life. And so He gets all the honor and all the praise. He gets all the credit for every good thing that you and I have in life. All good things come from God. We've been made His offspring. We've been connected to Him. Every good thing is to flow in and through you and I, but it won't happen until we humble ourselves like Jesus did and have the same mind that He had to make ourselves servants of one another. Because if we're walking around wanting to be the big shots, and wanting the glory, and wanting the power, and wanting the wealth, and wanting the blessing, and wanting all these things just so that we're blessed, and we can tell everybody how blessed we are. I'm talking real Southern now. You ain't getting anywhere.
My God supplies all my needs according to the riches and glories by Christ Jesus. I thank you, God, that my needs are met, and you're paying my bills. And I thank you for that mortgage payment. And I thank you for my new house. I thank you for my new car. I thank you for all my new things. And I claim these things in Jesus' name.
See you next year. In the same rut. Come on. Come on. He will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will provide. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's not a problem. The problem is, will you humble yourself enough to recognize that of yourself, you're a big nothing. And you need Him. And that you're here for His purposes, for His plan, to glorify and honor Him. And we understand that God's great desire is to save and deliver and heal and be a blessing to humanity. Generally, that's His plan. Now, we have specific plans on how we walk that out, but generally, that's it right there. You are called to be a blessing. You are called to help people. You are called to bring life to people. You're called to walk in the footsteps of your Master, the Lord Jesus, and serve others. Come and be a servant. And when we make ourselves a servant, man, He's going to supply our needs. He's going to elevate us. He's going to promote us. He's going to give us more ability, more influence to affect more people. You don't need wealth and riches just to sit in and say, have you seen my bank account? Look at how much is in my savings account. That's, you know, your security isn't in that.
I'd feel so secure if I just had tons of money in the checking account.
Your security is not supposed to be in that. Your security is supposed to be in Jesus, in God. Your faith is in Him. And when your faith and your dependency is upon Him and you're leaning on Him and you're looking to Him, you've humbled yourself not to stand on your own apart from Him. Not to utter words apart from Him. Because that's really what pride is. It's getting out here away from God and just doing your own thing apart from Him. You got your opinion, you got what you want to do, you got your plans. We're going to go to this city next year, we're going to do this, that, we're going to buy and sell, we're going to make a profit, we're going to do these things. We plan the whole thing out. We don't pray it out. We just plan it out. I believe in plans, I believe in organizing, I believe in putting your calendar for 2015 together. I'm all for it. Just do it prayerfully. Do it humbly.
trusted in God, saying, Lord, we're going to put these things down, and they seem good right now, but we're open. We're ready for you to change that at any time. Total dependency upon him. That's humility. Not daring to stand up and do anything independently of him. Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. I can do nothing. Jesus came to destroy the pride. That's what he came to do. That's our biggest enemy, is pride. And it's influenced all of us. Pride, or the loss of humility, is the root of every sin and evil. The lack of humility is the sufficient explanation of every defect and failure. Pride can degrade the highest angels into devils. And humility can raise fallen flesh to the throne of angels. Pride can turn angels into demons, and humility can turn flesh into glorious beings, sons and daughters of God. Our redemption is the restoration of this lost humility. Because that's what pride is. It's the absence of humility. So our redemption is the restoration of this lost humility. Aren't you glad Jesus came to earth to bring humility back to mankind? Friend, this is the thing you and I need to be growing in. It's humility. We need to be growing in humility more and more and more. Let me just read a few things the Lord spoke himself in relation to his father. And notice how unceasingly he uses the word not and nothing when referring to himself. This is God in flesh, okay? Referring to himself as not and nothing. John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will. Notice that, nothing, not. John 5:41, I receive not glory from men. He didn't receive glory from men. A lot of times folks are looking for glory from men. What did you think? How did I do? How did I look? Did I do a good job? I can't believe they didn't even acknowledge me with all that I did. I mean, I gave so much, they didn't even say thank you. People are seeking glory from men. Jesus said that he didn't seek. He said, I don't receive glory from men. I receive not glory from men. I am come, John 6:38. I am come not to do my own will. John 7:16. My teaching is not mine, but him who sent me. John 7:28, I am not come of myself. John 8:28, I do nothing of myself. John 8:42, I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Now this is all in John. So this is all different times he said these things. And look how much he saith not and nothing when referring to himself. This isn't just a little thing. This is his whole life. This is how he thought. This is the mind that was in him that needs to be in you and I. John 8:50, I seek not my own glory. Whose glory was he seeking? He's seeking the glory of the Father. John 14:10, the words that I say, I speak not from myself. He said in another place, he said, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. He who speaks from himself. We got a lot. Big time, you know, we can usually catch ourselves if we just pay attention to our mouth. We locate ourselves pretty quick. We can catch ourselves. Ooh, I'm speaking of a lot of my own stuff. Amen. You got to watch when you're talking a lot and I and me just fills your conversation. Now, I'm not saying you can't say I and me. Because I was teaching my children this, you know, I was talking about this. And I was talking about, you know, watch out how much you say I, because they were just like, I, me. I was like, hey, guys, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, you know, you find yourself saying I and me a lot, you know, it's because your focus is, it's all about you. You're only seeking what you want. And you're not worried, you're not interested about anybody else. So I finished the conversation with him, closed it up real good, nice little meeting we had there in the car. And then I said something. I said, now, guys, I'm going to do this, that, next thing. You said I and me. I said, well. Everything in moderation. Watch the content. But you can catch yourself when it's like, I, me. You know, a lot of times you're in a group of people and somebody has something they want to say, you know, and they say it. And then as they're saying it, you're thinking about what you want to say. And next thing you know, you're almost yelling over them. You're, I was there and I did this and I said that. Let me tell you my experience. That's nice. What are you seeking? What are you so worried about? Why do you have to get that out so bad? Why is that?
Pride. Turn to your neighbor and say, no, don't turn to your neighbor.
Just say pride. I don't want to cause any pride problems at home.
I saw the way you looked at me and said pride. You're the one in pride.
Sounds like we're both in it. Humble yourself. Take it. Jesus was spit on. He was smacked. He was ridiculed. We don't know the half of what he went through. Open out his mouth. He subjected himself. He submitted himself. He surrendered himself. He didn't defend himself. He didn't exalt himself. He didn't lift himself up. He didn't glorify himself. He just sought to glorify the Father. And how many people know the Father did a pretty good job by the time this thing was over to glorify Jesus? Come on. Jesus just kept humbling himself, and then God said, okay, you're coming up here, God the Father. And he gave him a name that's above every name. And he exalted him to the highest place. Amen. Oh, God will take care of you.
I've been humbling myself for 3 years.
It's your whole life. Your whole life. You're in this for your life. He will lift you up. He will lift you up. He will exalt you. Can you say amen? I seek not my glory. John 14:10, the words that I say to you, I speak not of myself. John 14:24, the words which you hear is not mine. Not mine, but the Father's. Hallelujah. And I'm sure there's more. I'm sure I didn't exhaust it. Not. Let's start saying some nots. Let's start speaking some nots and nothings when talking about ourselves in ourselves. Let's exalt him. Let's lift him up. Let's magnify him. Come on, somebody. Now, we understand, in him, I'm more than a conqueror. Which means what? I'm not walking around saying, oh, I just have nothing and I'm worthless and I'm useless. No. I'm not doing that. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I can get through this and I can fix this, but not in myself, by his strength, by his ability. Isn't that how Jesus was? Jesus didn't walk around, people come to him and go, Lord, can you heal me? He goes, I can do nothing. I can't help you. The poor walked by him. Lord, he said, I can do nothing for you. I'm poor, beaten down, miserable. I could do nothing for nobody. That's not humility. That's oppression. That's of the devil. No. He walked around saying, I can do nothing. I'm a nothing. I can't do nothing. Everything I do is not of me. It's all him. I could do nothing. Then he'd heal the sick. He'd lay hands on people, raise people from the dead. Come on. He would deliver people, do all kinds of miracles, feed thousands.
He could do everything, but yet not of himself. And we need to emphasize the not. While at the same time, not forgetting what he has done. We don't want to come to God and say, Lord, I'm just so unworthy. That's insulting to the blood of Jesus that washed your sins away and made you worthy in the sight of God. You have been made worthy through the blood of Jesus. You've been made worthy enough to approach him and come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Man, you've been made. Never say I'm unworthy. One time I said, Lord, I'm unworthy to be made worthy. But you made me worthy, so now I'm worthy. Even though I was unworthy to receive being made worthy. But thank God we're worthy through him. We didn't earn this thing. It's a gift from God. Oh, hallelujah. We've received the greatest gift of all. Glory be to God. And I'm telling you, as we grow in humility, as we grow in the character, nature of Jesus, as we have this mind in us, we're going to be able to walk in more of the fullness of this great God who says, I stand in the congregation of the mighty. I judge among the gods. Oh, hallelujah. We'll be able to stand up tall, man, and be able to be bold in our God as we continue to bow ourselves before him, bend the knee, worship him, honor him, and make ourselves a blessing to others. Turn to somebody and say, I'm here to serve you. Tell somebody else, I'm here to serve you. Amen. That's why you're here. You're here to serve others, even as Jesus came to serve. Hallelujah. And by doing that, we're serving God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.